The Guardian.
Tomorrow Radio. Who knows its nature?
You know that I am your friend. You don't have to do anything.
Stand by.
And curiosity often leads to trouble.
Make yourself free and comfortable. Loosen your clothes, move around, stretch. Stretch like a cat.
The Guardian Radio Hour on MTS.
A peculiar place to have a party.
Welcome back to The Guardian Radio Hour. I'm Kate Hutchinson, with you for another hour of tunes, chat, and deep sea diving into music's murky waters, live from the NTS studio in Dalston. Thanks to everyone who tuned in for Stuart Lee and his punk show last week. He survived the speaker falling on his head and he's doing just fine, in case you're wondering. Though it's a hard act to follow Stuart Lee, but stepping up to the plate is my buddy, colleague, and the man with the longest name in journalism, Ben Beaumont-Thomas. Hey.
Hello.
Thanks for coming in, Ben. It was a long journey. He's one of the Guardian culture editors. He gives his London clubbing tips every week in the Guide, and you may well know him for his recent interview with Steve Davis, the British snooker great turned techno's answer to John Peel. We're very excited because we're going to Block Festival after the show, aren't we, Ben?
I am incredibly excited, yeah. I've got my bathing shorts packed, primed.
Excellent, for the pool party. And Steve Davis's four-hour techno set, apparently.
That's right, and sort of general prog. Weird questings into the unknown.
Excellent, can't wait for that. So Ben's going to be giving us, but most of all me, today a primer on the rise of the crate-digging label. So let's start with something from one of the best there is, Honest John's. This is from the London Is The Place For Me compilation in 2013.
Britain, a lovely city by name of London. It's here I'm living in Great Britain, a lovely city by name of London. I'm going to stay here in Great Britain, yes, to better my position, and in case they should tell me go back to life, I'm telling them no. Because Britain is the motherland.
So this is the Guardian Radio Hour, and that was Mighty Terror, Life in Britain, from Honest John's 2013 compilation even. London Is The Place For Me 6, Mento, Calypso, Jazz and High Life from Young Black London. Catchy title there, Ben.
Nifty, yeah.
So the idea of the show is that we ask guests to ruminate on a theme. Can you tell me why you've chosen crate digging labels?
These labels are just some of my favourite things in music. They're these often run by complete mad music obsessives who are just going out and indulging a bizarre hobby. I think perhaps initially they, you know, spending all of their hard-earned on weird bizarre things they've bought on holiday, and then it kind of sort of snowballs into more and more of an obsession. They start to think, hey, I should be putting this sort of stuff out into the world, and little by little you get these labels that sort of crop up and end up putting out music that the likes of me and you would probably never come across, and we're massive music nerds, you know.
Well, you are, Ben. I'm not
okay,
sure about me.
Yeah, I'm an absolute dweeb. But yeah, that we would, even in our kind of voracious appetites, we wouldn't quite reach some of these obscurities. So these are people who are making labels to really bring stuff out into the open that kind of requires an enormous expenditure of time and money, and you know, could completely destroy your social life and your interpersonal relationships if you did it yourself. Luckily, these labels means that, you know, you get to have a good relationship with your nearest and dearest, and not spend your pension on a kind of shipment of records from Japan that you never heard.
So they're just a great filter, essentially.
Exactly, yeah.
And I guess the idea of the show is that you've picked some of the ones that mean a lot to you. It's just, you know, we've taken a sort of scalpel to all the boutique labels and just sort of picked your
favorite. That's right. Yeah, so I've kind of trimmed off a track from each of a series of labels which I really admire. Yeah, let's have another one.
All right, so this is Tangle Eye Hard Hat 22 and Little Red, When I Went to Leland.
Well, I thought it was all well, when I went to Leland, well, I thought it was all well. But tell me when I went to Leland, well, and I'm gonna die somewhere. I'm gonna get my road, baby. I'm gonna stand on the levee, baby.
Wow, that was Tangle Eye Hard Hat 22 and Little Red, When I Went to Leland, which was out on the Dust to Digital compilation called Parchman Farm. But first, maybe we should go back to the first track we played, Mighty Terror, because it came out on the Honest John's record label, and there's a really interesting story behind that, right?
Yeah, then. Honest John's is the greatest record shop in the entire world, in my opinion, in West London, and they have this incredible label as well, which... originally, at least, drew a lot on this EMI archive of old records, this huge warehouse that they basically went through and listened to a huge amount of stuff and compiled it and sort of curated it down into... And that the first track we heard was from London Is the Place for Me, which is this sort of six-part compilation that totally sort of drills down into black history in the UK. So, you know, really intimate little glimpses into life. And, you know, this is what I think a good reissue sort of crate digger label can do, is to not only find these records, but sort of tie them together in and give you a sense of the feel of a social moment. And I think, you know, Parchman Farm, which we just heard, is a similar thing. That's it's put out by Dust to Digital. It's a collection of recordings by Alan Lomax, who is this guy
the ultimate sort of early crate digger, right?
Yeah exactly. He is a kind of crate digger in a sense that he went and scoured for music that had not come out into the public eye at all, purely actually because it hasn't been recorded. So this was it's recorded on a prison work gang. So you basically get this amazing little insight into historical moments through these labels.
Don't you just buy these compilations in there because these sorts of labels, the releases that they do are very beautifully packaged. I mean, it's not just in a sort of see-through sleeve,
right?
You know, there's beautiful, you know, books. This particular Parchment Farm had a massive book that came with essays.
Right.
It looks pretty sexy.
It is sexy, and there is a sort of element that an uncomfortable element that this is almost like a fetish object, you know, and there's something slightly off, perhaps. You know, Alan Lomax went to record disenfranchised, poor, imprisoned black men as a white man and took their music away into the outside world. And equally, then now we're, you know, I've got the lovely slipcase, die-cut, cardboard fetish objects that I sort of lust over and rub my thighs to on my coffee table. But there's something undeniable about it. Its kind of beauty comes from how incredibly poignant and how eerily unable I am to be able to properly access it in a way.
Well, here is another eerily poignant track, let's say, which is Bernard Upshaw Singer's Have You Tried Jesus? Interesting choice there, Ben. The Bernard Bernard Upshaw singers even, Have You Tried Jesus, from the third installment of from the third installment of the Apocryphal Hymns, the Numero Group label series of otherworldly gospel, road funk and spiritual soul. Perhaps you should say a bit more, Ben, because I can't seem to pronounce anything today.
That's okay, you got God up inside you, perhaps, I don't know. So that was a group who, or that song was written by a guy called Norman Whiteside, who is a really fascinating guy, currently in prison, who for a kind of, well, being a sort of gang leader of the of an attack that left someone dead, and he's got a 37-year jail term. Before all of this sort of criminality happened, he made this incredible record called You Can Fly on My Aeroplane with his band called We, which is this sort of mad, like epic sort of Stevie Wonder pomp soul experience, wow. Which Kanye sampled for Bound 2. This is the kind of mad little squirreling rabbit hole that you can end up going down if you start really nerding out on some of these obscurities that get brought to light by well, here, the Numero Group, the label.
Yeah, shout out Numero Group. They've got a show on NTS, of course. They did a show on Wednesday, actually, which you can listen to on the NTS website, so I hear.
Yes.
But didn't, just going back to this sort of mainstream sampling thing, didn't David Guetta sample something from that Parchment Farm?
Yeah, I think it was so there's a track called Rosie, which is another one of these kind of traditional songs that prisoners used to sing, and it's, you know, it's calling out basically to the Rosie, the sort of lost lover who they're all missing because they're imprisoned, and you know, it's full of kind of raw sexual frustration. David Guetta thought that, you know, this will be something to, you know, get turned up to with a bottle of Ciroc. So
someone's going to ride a horse into a club to that.
That's,
you know?
Right. That's what I'd like to party to.
Yeah. So listen out for Parchment Farms in Las Vegas, guys. The next label that you've chosen is Now Again Records, which is part of the Stone Throw family. What's the story with this?
Yeah. So this is an amazing record. This is it's a cover of Love Unlimited's Walking in the Rain. They're the band who backed Barry White with lots of like lush strings and so on. Mm-hmm. And it's recorded by a band called The Soundtrack. Now, these guys were a group of GIs in a American base in Germany during the Vietnam War. And to kind of keep morale up, but also as a kind of propaganda means, there were these sort of band competitions where sort of soldiers would get together, form a band, and have a kind of X Factor style sort of sing-off where they would perform their like funk tunes, some of which they'd written, most of which were covers. It's using soul as a means of, you know, recruiting soldiers to go and fight in Vietnam.
Right, well, let's hear that soul propaganda tune. This is The Soundtrack, Walking in the Rain.
We'll see you in the morning, baby. Yeah, we'll see you in the morning. So don't be late.
Okay.
Oh yeah, by the way, tell Dee Dee don't be late, okay?
Okay.
Ooh. Looks like it's starting to rain. Need you, girl. I just got to have. Walking in the rain with the one I love feels so fine. Walking in the rain with the one I love on my mind. Thank you.
that was Hailu, excuse my pronunciation on this, guys, by the way, Hailu Merdia and the Walayas, Yummy Selex Fakir. And before that, the soundtrack Walking in the Rain, which is from Now and Again Records, which has some interesting phone sex on that.
Yeah, it has that beautiful sort of middle eight bit from the Love Unlimited version where it's got an actual telephone rather than a guy going ring and then, you know, a guy and a woman sort of talking back and forth, and, you know, on the bass in Germany, he's clearly just had to get his mate to sort of be his paramour at the other end of the phone line, inverted commas. So yeah,
brilliant. But the track we just heard, Yemia Slex Fakir, was from the Awesome Tapes from Africa label, of course, who are brilliant.
Yes, yeah, and I think, well, not only does that song probably have one of my all-time favourite melodies, it's kind of just tear-jerkingly perfect every time. Mm. But yeah, I think Awesome Tapes from Africa is interesting because, you know, I think you could potentially make those accusations of colonialism again. It's an ethnomusicologist who went over and, you know, collecting tapes and then taking them back to New York and then putting out records. You know, that's potentially dodgy, but he's putting out records that and then feeding back you know, royalties to these artists. It's a proper two-way street. And with Hailu Merdia, well, he was in a series of Ethiopian bands and then toured to the US with one of them, and then kind of decided that he didn't really want to go back to the politically repressive Ethiopia of the age, and instead became a taxi driver in Washington DC. And then Awesome Tapes reissued his record and he became, you know, known to Western audiences, and suddenly he's playing Field Day, really sort of resurrecting a career.
There seems to be a lot of previous with this idea of resurrecting sort of cult or older musicians that have put out one album and then, you know, done something different for their lives and someone's discovered it. Like, obviously the most prominent example I can think of is William Onyebor on the Lwakabop label, and Vice made that great documentary about the search to find him, to track him down in Nigeria and kind of plead him to let them put out his music.
And he's a very Christian man, and he didn't want to kind of embrace fame, and actually saw music and fame as kind of distracting him from his faith. And so he never did what some of the other musicians have done, which is actually to sort of run with this and to start a career again. But you know, another example would be someone like Rodriguez, I think, who had his stuff reissued, and then there was the Searching for Sugar Man documentary, which is just hugely popular now. You know, it's a new flush of success for him.
But why are we so, it feels like at the moment people, a lot of labels are sort of scrabbling to find the cult, you know, the old musician that they can bring back to the fore. Why is this happening again? Why are we obsessed with this idea of cult musicians?
I don't know. There's obviously a kind of romance to things that have been lost for years that's kind of undeniable, and what you don't see is the dross that crate diggers sort of leave on the floor, and the things that they have to go through and listen to, you know, just completely bizarre, terrible records. I once went to Bogota on a really good work blag and had an afternoon going around record shops, and I was just like, you know, I'm just going to make my own Colombian cumbia label because I'm just finding so much stuff here. And then got back to London, and it's like stuff that sounds like someone's told them about Johnny Cash, but then has been given a sort of Casio keyboard, and they have like zero talent whatsoever. So, you know, and there is a sort of thrill of the chase, I think, to find those unknown artists that, you know, it's become even harder now, I think, to hide away from the world because of the sort of interconnected world that we live in.
So the next track is, we're moving from sort of old African music through to proto-electronica, is that right?
I guess so.
This is Jerry Green, I Finally Found the Love I Need, which is released on Chicago's Chocolate Industries label.
Thank you.
Joel Graham, Geomancy, which was the first 12-inch release from the new Dutch label Music for Memory last year. And before that, we had Jerry Green, I Finally Found the Love I Need, which was actually a proto-techno, not proto-electronic, which is what I meant to say, which was on Chicago's Chocolate Industries label in 2012. So tell me about these tracks.
Yeah, so I love that Jerry Green track. It's so sort of creepy, and you know, so many soul songs are about you know, have a guy saying that they really want or need, or that someone belongs to them, and you're kind of like, oh, those strings are making it sound so romantic, and then this kind of takes into this machine place, and suddenly he sounds like a crazed stalker. And he used to be in the Contours, who did "Do You Love Me?" That song.
I'm loving BBT karaoke, yeah, by the way.
Yeah,
can we do that later?
It doesn't usually come out very often, actually, okay. Which is probably for the best. But yeah, so he you know, he's gone from classic Motown pomp into something that, yeah, as you say, kind of predates Detroit techno, but is showing that city is kind of heading toward in that sort of machine-like way. It's really interesting, and it was crate dug by a guy called Dante Carfagnat and put it on a brilliant compilation of loads of electronic soul, which is called Personal Space. And Carfagnat is a guy who is like mates with DJ Shadow, and they would sort of go out and sniff out probably literally records together and sort of touch each other when they found a particularly nice find.
And the second track was on Music for Memory, which is one of these labels that's starting to sort of specialise in obscure early electronic music. Is this a thing now?
Yeah, I think this is kind of maybe a new frontier, or certainly a bold frontier at the moment for crate diggers. I think, you know, disco was heavily mined, and I've spoken to some, you know, disco scene DJs who are saying that there is nothing left to find. Like it's all done. It's just like scorched earth.
No record has been
unturned. Yeah. And which I don't believe for a second. But now people are sort of looking at, well, what other music was perhaps, you know, maligned in its day and actually is incredibly exciting and needs, you know, A, finding, and B, celebrating.
Well, this next track definitely needs celebrating and needed uncovering, I'm guessing, which is an incredible, incredible jazz track, but from the Arclight Editions label, which is run by Guardian writer Jennifer Lucy Allen. It's Joan Takamaki. How do I say this, Ben?
Jonah Takamaki, I think.
Thank you. Bhupala number one. That was beautiful. Bhupala One on the Arclight Editions label.
Yeah, so Arclight is run by, as you said, Jennifer Lucy Allen, who's a friend of mine, and she used to work at The Wire. She writes for The Guardian, and it's a good illustration that you don't have to be a kind of massive decades-long crate digger to be able to start your own label. She's just kind of been putting things out as and when she finds them, more or less. And there are lots of these labels that, you know, you have ones like Soundway and Light in the Attic that we've mentioned that are, you know, quite big operations. But there are lots of other great little ones, like I really love Canary Records, which is by this guy Ian Nagoski. Some of their stuff is MP3 only, but it's all this amazing sort of Ottoman music and Balkan music. Into the Light is amazing as well. These, like, it's exclusively Greek pioneering electronic music. There's loads out there.
There's a label for every niche, I feel.
Indeed.
Thanks so much for joining me today, Ben.
Thank you, Kate.
I'm looking forward to our train journey down to Minehead later.
I'll get the M&S tins in.
Thank you. If you could, that would be great, because brilliant. And yeah, if you've got nothing better to do today, you can check out all of our previous podcasts online. They include Bobby Gillespie on Cheating Songs, Fat White Family on Outsider Ballads, and of course Nena Cherry on Rebellious Jazz, and much more. But we're going to end on another track that I can't pronounce, which is a split release on the Sahel Sounds and Mississippi Records in 2012, and it's a cover of Message in a Bottle by The Police by Hamadth Kar, and it's actually called Sweetie.
For more great downloads, go to theguardian.com/audio.